You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. As you know, all month long on the podcast, we are getting you, the diehard Chicago Bears fan, ready to go for the 2018 NFL Draft. And today, we're really diving deep into the second round here, and we're going to try and find good second round pairings to go with each of the first round targets that the Bears have been repeatedly linked to in this NFL Draft. So we're going to find duos here that we could see the Chicago Bears take with their first and second round picks, assuming they don't trade either one of them. I feel like over the last few weeks here, we've really hammered out everything we can about the first round in this draft. We've gone position by position. We hit all the big names. Everybody mocked to the Bears with that 8th overall pick. We built a little bit of a big board. And we've kind of looked at some trade options, pretty much every scenario we can for that 8th overall pick. If you haven't been up to date on the podcast, I urge you to go back, binge listen to them, and get all set for the first round so we can really dive again into the second round here. And last week, we had Mark Schofield from Inside the Pylon and Locked On Patriots on the podcast, and we looked at some potential guys in that late first round range that maybe could fall to the second round, and we kind of get the impression here that it's pretty up in the air. You know, there's guys that, you know, have those question marks that, you know, they're first round talent, but are they truly going to be first round picks, or are they going to be there maybe when the Bears pick 39? You know, there's a slew of teams that pick before them. I think the Browns pick a couple times. The Colts are in there. Some other teams that have similar needs as to what the Bears could be looking at, but at the same time, they have a pretty good shot at getting a potential first round talent there in the second round, and we're going to get to some of those guys again today and look at which first round picks they might be paired with. Because I feel like when you go into this 2018 NFL draft, especially because the Bears don't have a third round pick right now, you can kind of split the draft in half. And day one and day two, you know, the first and second round, that's sort of part A of the draft for the Chicago Bears. And then no third round pick, and then you kind of get fourth to seventh round. Day three is kind of a whole nother ball game. And so I think we can link these first two picks together pretty closely, and then everything on day three is going to kind of be its own battle. And you can bet we are going to get into plenty of fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, maybe even undrafted free agent options for the Bears here leading up to the draft. I know we're getting even closer, but got a few great guests planned, not only for later this week, but early next week as we get ready for the big show. And then we'll have podcasts every night during the NFL draft, breaking down all the picks. Going to get some guests lined up there as well. So Locked On Bears will really be your one-stop shop for Chicago Bears NFL draft analysis. Hope you'll stick through it. Hope you'll learn a little bit of something, not only leading up to the draft, but after we get these picks under wraps. But I think when we look at the big picture of the Chicago Bears draft here, you see some needs and you see some positions that realistically the Bears just aren't going to draft early. You know, they're not going to draft a quarterback early in this draft. Don't think they're going to draft a tight end early in this draft. I hope they don't draft a running back early in this draft. I know the Saquon Barkley thing has been thrown out there a few times. The Jordan Howard rumors continue to murmur, but I really don't think they should make that decision. I think they need to stick with the running backs that they have and upgrade the team where it is more needed. I could get it if it's somebody like Saquon Barkley, maybe, but realistically, we're not looking at a running back on either the first 2 days of the draft. You know, I think safety is a position where we probably won't see it happen, but you could kind of understand if they do make that pick on purely a best player available type situation. But I think that leaves wide receiver, offensive line, and then really the entire front seven and cornerback as general positions of need that the Bears need to target and could very well target in the first two rounds of this draft. And when you really kind of step back, there are some holes on this roster. I mean, you talk about the entire front seven. They could use a new defensive end opposite Akeem Hicks in that rotation with Jonathan Bullard. They could use a new inside linebacker next to Danny Trevathan if they're not really totally sold on Nick Kwiatkowski stepping in and really being that, you know, playmaking, game-changing linebacker on the middle. They could use another edge rusher in the rotation with Leonard Floyd and Aaron Lynch. Those two guys aren't exactly proven, consistent NFL pass rushers just yet. So there's a hole there, and they're one injury away at any of those positions from really being desperate in that front seven. Of course, at cornerback, you can always use an upgrade at the nickel and try and get some more youth in there. Big hole at left guard on the offensive line, and the loss of Cameron Meredith certainly hurts the wide receiver position. So you've got some options for a lot of need positions that we could see the Bears go with early in this draft. But when you narrow it down to the eighth overall pick, like we've been doing over the last couple weeks, you know, it really comes down to just a handful of options here. Let's start with Quentin Nelson, because he's the one that catches all the headlines, has the connection with the offensive line coach, and is arguably the best player and the number one player we put on our Bears draft big board. Though I put Bradley Chubb so close to him, in my opinion. I just give Nelson a slight edge because of need, but he is a phenomenal player. He's not just a safe player, but he is a high ceiling player. And I think most people would be pretty satisfied with Quentin Nelson at that eighth overall pick. And so I look at potential second round pairings for this guy. And I think if I'm getting Quentin Nelson in the first round, you know, I want to emphasize the trenches. I'm putting a priority on winning in the trenches. And when you look at this second round, there's really not defensive linemen that are going to be on the board and valuable with that 39th overall pick. You know, there's a few guys like Daron Payne and Taven Bryan. We talked about them a little bit with Mark Schofield last week. They're both pretty solid first round guys. You know, there's a chance one of them slips a little bit into the top of the second round, but I don't know if they make it 6-7 picks down to where the Bears are and last that long. I feel like teams are going to want to go and get those first round guys and not let them drop all the way. But once you get past those two, there's really not another defensive lineman sitting there that you're like, oh yeah, he's a good value. He's that good in this draft class to be taken 39th overall. And so I almost entirely knock defensive line out of the realm of possibility for this 39th overall pick, the way it looks like the draft is going to fall now. And really, if I'm trying to get better in the trenches here, I have to go with the outside linebacker position. You know, that's the next guy up at the line of scrimmage that's going to fill a position of need and potentially have talent on the board there. But even the edge rusher position, it's not deep after you get through that first round of guys. I mean, you've got, you know, Bradley Chubb, we talked about, Harold Landry, you know, Marcus Davenport's in there. Some people like Leighton Vander Esch or even Tremaine Edmonds potentially playing the edge. I'm not exactly sold as much there, but you get to this second round crop and you're kind of looking at, you know, Lorenzo Carter from Georgia and Sam Hubbard from Ohio State. Two guys we talked about, again, keep referencing our episode with Mark Schofield last week, looking at first round talents that could slide in the second round. He seemed pretty convinced that Sam Hubbard is going to go to the New England Patriots if he's on the board, but the New England Patriots might be on the move, and they've got some draft capital here. They might go elsewhere. I mean, no one can predict this thing all that accurately, and so I think there's still a pretty decent chance that one of Carter and Hubbard are on the board when the Bears pick, but it still doesn't necessarily feel like something I'm super thrilled about. You know, I think you want to upgrade with a player that's going to be truly best player available, in addition to filling a position of need. And like, I see the upside with both of those guys. You know, Lorenzo Carter, he's kind of like a little bit of a poor man's Leonard Floyd, not necessarily in the sense of like being that true physical specimen athlete that's really going to knock your socks off. But, you know, he has length, he has size, he has speed. He ran a 4.46. I think he's listed at just under 6'5", 250. But never had that big production at Georgia. Still isn't necessarily a well-rounded pass rusher. He's a, you know, a size, length, speed guy, but not a technique guy, not a well-rounded pass rusher in terms of pass rush moves and technique, and just might not be ready to take on a full starter's load of edge rushing duties. And you know, am I super thrilled with that in the second round? I don't know. I would feel better about him later in the second round. You know, 39 overall. If you need to upgrade the outside linebacker position, he's there. You know, I'll put Sam Hubbard in a similar category. He's more of a bigger defensive end type at Ohio State, but you can move him to the outside linebacker here. You know, he's more a true 6'5", 270 was, I think, what he weighed in at the combine. Ran a little bit slow at his pro day, but he's got that production. You know, maybe not quite as much as you'd like, but 7 sacks his last year, 13 and a half tackles for loss. He's got some athletic skills too, but, you know, he does everything pretty well, but he isn't truly great in any way. And, you know, there's some ceiling there with his athleticism, but he maybe hasn't flashed that truly game-changing ability. And so, you know, I think as you're going to hear with a lot of these guys in the second round, there's a lot of warts, and that's why they're second-round guys and not first-round guys. I'm not exactly thrilled with the edge class when you get past these first-round talents, but I feel like if you're building this team in the trenches and trying to get that identity, you're looking at a guy like Carter or perhaps a more physical, less athletically freaky one in Sam Hubbard to just kind of step in, be in that rotation, grow with your outside linebackers. You know, you're not going to find a sure thing elite edge rusher after the first round, really after the first 15 picks or whatever. You're always sacrificing something when you get to 39. And so I see the value in going there, in addressing getting after the quarterback. Because you remember we talk about the important things. I think Mark Schofield talked about it being about the pocket. You need someone who can throw from it. You need someone who can protect it. And you need someone who can get after it as a pass rusher. You get someone who can protect it in the first round with Quentin Nelson. In the second round, I want someone who can get after it. Kind of looking at Hubbard and Carter right now. And you take them, you work with him, you add them to the rotation. Maybe they're not dynamic game changers year one or year two, but sometime down the line, you at least have more potential and another young edge rusher to develop in this scheme directed by Vic Fangio. I'll take it. And this Quentin Nelson thing, you know, he's obviously the sort of consensus most commonly mocked to the Bears player. So, of course, we had to start there. But coming up next on Locked On Bears, we'll get to a couple of these other targets with the 8th overall pick and try and see what kind of combinations in the second round might be good pairings in this draft. So number 2 on our big board here was Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State. And it seems pretty unlikely that he's going to last to the 8th overall pick. So I'll also throw Harold Landry in this scenario, that I think Harold Landry from Boston College should be in consideration for the 8th overall pick. I think he is that good of a pass rusher. I think he was mocked pretty low in, I think, Todd McShay or maybe Mel Kiper's recent mock draft. So maybe they aren't going to go as high as some people in the draft community might think or want them to, but I would absolutely consider him with that 8th overall pick. And so assuming you get an edge rusher here with the 8th overall pick to find the pair with that, I kind of feel like the flip-flop strategy with Nelson is the way to go here. That if I'm getting Chubb or Harold Landry, my dynamic edge rusher to pair with Leonard Floyd, if I'm getting him in the first round, I want the guy in the trenches opposite him with that second round pick. I think guard is the biggest need on this roster right now, and I think there's going to be some chances here in the second round with that 39th pick to get a potential first round caliber offensive lineman. I think Billy Price from Ohio State is going to be there. You know, he suffered the injury at the combine. I believe it was a pectoral injury while he was doing the bench and had to stop. He's going to be potentially ready for training camp and maybe even OTAs, depending on how the recovery goes. Not a guy that's going to miss time as a rookie. I mean, obviously injury red flags are what they are, but this isn't a joint or a knee thing, a lower body thing. This isn't a Kevin White thing. It's just a fluky injury for a quality, consistent offensive lineman. He can play center. He can play guard. And I think that injury is really going to make him be available with that second round pick. But I also think there's a good chance someone like Will Hernandez from UTEP, he might be there. You know, a little bit of a level of competition thing with him at Texas El Paso. Certainly a dominant run blocker, but maybe has some limitations or at least some room for improvement as a pass blocker, and that could potentially help see him fall. I mean, we just typically don't see a lot of guards go in the first round, and especially if Quentin Nelson is going to go near the top. You know, there's guys like Isaiah Wynn from Georgia who played left tackle but's probably going to project a guard. Those are the kind of guys that tend to go in that first round. He, maybe Connor Williams from Texas, similar situation, two guys that could potentially play tackle in the NFL but might end up getting kicked inside to guard. Those are kind of more the first round guys. Of course, Mike McGlinchey as well, but he's more a pure tackle. And we tend to see these guard center types fall a little bit. You know, there's Will Hernandez, there's Billy Price, maybe James Daniels from Iowa might even be a potential first round guy that could fall. He's more of your traditional center, but I think there's going to be some options here at the guard position. And so if you're getting your pass rusher, your top 10 high ceiling potential pass rusher with that eighth overall pick, I really turn to that second round and I want myself a new starting guard. Fill in for Josh Sitton. Don't rely on Eric Kush to be your left guard this year. Don't rely on Hronus Grasu to be your center if you're putting Cody Whitehair there. I don't like that at all. You have to prioritize Mitchell Trubisky. You have to go and keep him protected. You got receivers for him in free agency. You got a new tight end for him. You got a new head coach to make the offense that much more dynamic. But a head coach does not necessarily fix a bad offensive line. You can only scheme so much there. You need talent in the trenches. That's why I think Quentin Nelson is a worthy pick at eighth overall. But in this scenario, if we're going edge rusher in the first round, I got to go offensive lineman in the second. It's got to be a Billy Price, Will Hernandez if he's there. If Isaiah Wynn is there somehow, sure, I'll throw James Daniel from Iowa in there. Some really solid, I think, interior offensive line options. I'm pairing them with a first-round edge rusher. And I'm telling you, this Harold Landry to the Bears thing at the eighth overall pick, it's not as far off as you might think. You know, actually, the guys over at Locked On NFL Draft, they've been doing this cool podcast mock draft scenario thing where they're bringing in media guests from the specific markets of every team in the draft. And one episode at a time, they're going two picks at a time and sort of breaking down the war room for each team with that media guest. And so just last week, they went through the Bears and the Buccaneers on the April 12th episode, and they brought on Paige DeMacos from FanRag Sports. You might remember her. She came onto this podcast to talk about the hiring of Matt Nagy way back in January. She is a great follow on Twitter at @the_sportspage, and she knows her Chicago Bears. She's a Chicago girl that lives in Arizona. And so she got to play War Room with John Ledyard from Locked On NFL Draft to kind of look at who she thinks the Chicago Bears should take. And, you know, in their mock draft scenario, only two quarterbacks went in the top five of this draft. Quentin Nelson went like number five or number six. He was off the board. Tremaine Edmonds went right after him. Derwin James went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it was a little bit of a tough situation for the Bears and for Paige sitting in the Bears war room here, but she saw the need for an edge rusher to really complement Leonard Floyd and put this Bears defense over the top and continue to establish a defensive identity for a team with an offensive head coach. And so Paige makes the case for Harold Landry for the Bears' eighth overall pick. He's a guy we didn't talk a ton about on this podcast, and heck, if he is the pick, we're going to be talking about him a lot more. But if you want to hear why Paige thinks Harold Landry should be the guy eighth overall, even with maybe Roquan Smith still on the board, still a few other options there, you got to go check out Locked On NFL Draft. So assuming Bradley Chubb is off the board, and let's say Quentin Nelson is off the board, and maybe the Bears aren't as high on Harold Landry as a lot of us on the outside might be, I really get the feeling that the Bears are going to go linebacker with that eighth overall pick. It just feels like if you're going best player available, plus Ryan Pace's history of liking the elite athletes, then really Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith both kind of fit that mold. And for whatever reason, I just don't get the impression that defensive back is in the mix for that eighth overall pick. I just don't feel like the Bears sitting there with a top 10 pick to add a player that could truly be a difference maker for your team. I don't get the impression that Ryan Pace wants to take a cornerback or a safety that might have to be a rotational player. If you take Denzel Ward at eighth overall, he's probably got to play in the nickel and he's not going to be on the field as much and or make quite as much of an impact as you see an outside cornerback make, at least not for the first year or two of his career. Maybe the same thing for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, if you draft Derwin James, do you have him compete with Adrian Amos to start at strong safety, or are you moving guys around? I mean, it just doesn't feel like defensive back is the best choice to go with that eighth overall pick. I mean, unless Nelson, Chubb, Edmonds, and Roquan Smith, and maybe even Harold Landry, if somehow they're all off the board, that's when I bring defensive back into the conversation. But for me, I'm really leaning linebacker here. I really think that fits. It's a need. It's probably going to be the best player available with Nelson and Chubb off the board. And it's two athletic freaks that really fit what Ryan Pace likes with that first round. And so I want to try and find a second round pair to go with either Edmonds or Smith, because they're filling the same need. They're very different players, but for our intents and purposes here, they took a linebacker with the first round. And then you get to the second round, and you know, we've seen over these three drafts that we have with Ryan Pace, he likes the athletes in the first round, and he likes the athletes in the second round. You know, you think about Adam Shaheen last year, a moldable, raw, athletic tight end. You know, 2 years ago, he traded down a couple times and ended up with Cody Whitehair. Maybe not necessarily a dynamically elite athlete, but someone who moves well for an offensive lineman, played tackle, moved into guard, and obviously center when it was all said and done. A guy that has athletic upside, but, you know, offensive lineman athleticism is all a little bit relative. And same thing in his first draft, Eddie Goldman with the 39th overall pick. Sounds familiar, right? Goldman, another guy that moves really well for his size. And again, it's harder to get a feel for how dynamic of an athlete a 320-pound nose tackle can be. But that guy moves well. He is not a slow nose tackle. He can shoot in one gap and get up the field and penetrate. And he's not just stuck taking on double teams. We've seen Goldman can be a pass rusher at times. He can flash that ability. He is an above-average athlete for the defensive tackle position. And so I think that athletic conversation comes in here when you're talking about this year's 39th overall pick. And, you know, I look in this draft, and there's going to be some guys there at a pretty big position of need for the Bears that check some of these boxes as dynamic, potential game-changing athletes. And I think the name I keep coming back to is Courtland Sutton from SMU. Just a freak of an athletic wide receiver. He's kind of got some Kevin White to him in the sense that he's got that size at 6'3", 218, but still ran a pretty impressive day at the combine. I believe he had a 4.54 40, pretty good three cone at 6.57. He's a player that just moves really well, and not only at a high speed, but quickly in terms of short area burst. You know, he's just a fluid and dynamic athlete with good ball skills that can go up and get it, but he's also raw and isn't a very refined route runner, doesn't have that sort of that shine to him. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that nuance to his game that you see that helps, you know, savvy veteran wide receivers that maybe don't have the athletic ability, helps them truly separate and be the reliable receivers that they are. But that's where the ceiling comes in with Courtland Sutton. You know, he has the things that you can't coach, but you can coach route running. You can coach hand technique, working up the sideline. You can coach head fakes. You can coach all the little things that can make him, that can take him from a good fast receiver to a great dynamic playmaker. He can go up and get it. He can take the deep ball. He can do so much for your offense. And because he's got that raw to his game, and because recent wide receivers haven't had that production in the first round, I think we're going to see wide receivers generally fall a little bit in this draft. And I think Courtland Sutton's one of those high ceiling second round wide receivers that should be in the mix for that 39th overall pick, especially after Cam Meredith left. And the other guy I want to put right here in this mix, I mean, I think DJ Moore from Maryland is more of a first round guy for me. And I, if he was there at 39, I would absolutely take him. But I want to put Anthony Miller from Memphis in this conversation. He's a guy, you know, doesn't have that physical look. You know, he doesn't look like he's a guy that's going to torch you, but he's not just a speed guy. He is the good route runner. He's a smart player who can fit into zones. You know, he might not be a true number one wide receiver, but he's going to be a steady number two. He can work out of the slot if he needs to, but he can also work on the outside. You know, he isn't quite 6 foot. I think he's just over 5'11", 200 pounds. And he didn't run at the combine because he had a right foot thing, but he weighed in and measured in and put up 22 on the bench reps. But this player scored 18 touchdowns in 2017. He's had 1,400 yards in each of the last 2 years. He was really Memphis's go-to receiver. He's been compared to almost like an Antonio Brown light. Like, maybe that's too high of expectations on him, but that type of player. You know, Antonio Brown isn't the fastest wide receiver in the NFL, but he is darn fast. And he is a phenomenal route runner and just a smart receiver that can make plays with the ball in his hands or without the ball in his hands, gets open consistently, and moves the chains for your offense, not just in a Jarvis Landry type way, but in a downfield, bail out your quarterback type wide receiver. You know, Miller, he's a little bit on the older side. I think he's going to turn 24 during the season. And, you know, he isn't that, you know, he doesn't have that size and sometimes has some drops that you aren't necessarily thrilled about, but he is a crafty playmaker at the wide receiver position, and I think he would be a great complement to the size that Allen Robinson has. Again, might not have that number one wide receiver, you know, coverage dictator potential necessarily, but he's just going to be a reliable player for your team, and he is going to get the job done. I would absolutely take Anthony Miller 39th overall. I'd take Cortland Sutton 39th overall, and I'd consider DJ Chark from LSU right in this conversation. You know, 6'3", 200 pounds, a 4.34 at the 40-yard dash. He is a workout warrior and really a true deep threat with that second gear. Can really take the top off of a defense and add that vertical dimension to your offense. You know, he didn't play with a very good or consistent quarterback at all during his college career, so maybe the production wasn't quite as high as you'd like it to be. I mean, he only had 6 touchdowns in 2 years, but this guy has that speed that you cannot teach. Maybe he's not really a well-rounded or an elite route runner in that sense, but you got that size, you got that speed, you got that downfield ability, and he can contribute right away as a punt returner as well. This guy, you get the ball in his hands, you let that speed work on the field, and he's going to make plays for you. And that athleticism, again, you cannot teach. Again, maybe he doesn't have the size and the high-pointing ability that Cortland Sutton does, but he has that next-level speed with good size, you know, just a different type of big, fast receiver. He's more the top-off guy. Cortland Sutton's more the Kevin White-type downfield guy. This is more the, I hate to say Ted Ginn type, because he's got better hands than Ted Ginn, and Ted Ginn's never really been that true game-changing player, but that type of mold of true elite deep threat, and you know, you can work with that, you can get more out of him, and you can build him into a dynamic weapon for your offense. 21 years old, I think he just scratched the surface at LSU. Again, without a consistent quarterback, you bring him to Chicago, you throw the ball to him downfield, you have Allen Robinson on one side taking coverage, you're going to get a lot of one-on-one for him. You add that speed with Taylor Gabriel and DJ Chark, defenses are not going to be able to keep up. There are solid options for that wide receiver position in the second round. And I think between Chark and Anthony Miller and Cortland Sutton, you have an opportunity to add a dynamic athlete there to go with a dynamic athletic linebacker in the first round. Adding speed on both sides of the ball in the modern NFL is not something we should overlook here. I know I spent the first half of this podcast just talking about the trenches, but if you're not going trenches, and Ryan Pace likes these elite athletes, give me a linebacker in the first round and a dynamic wide receiver in the second round, and I'll go home pretty happy. So when we look at the big picture of the second round here, I think there's a few takeaways that I keep coming back to. You look at the depth of this draft class on who's probably going to go in the first round and what's going to be there in the second. You're looking at pretty thin selection at defensive line, linebacker, and edge rusher. When you're talking about the 39th overall pick, there's about 4 real good linebackers in this draft, and then there's a pretty big drop-off, and you get more in that second to third round type range. There's a couple pretty good defensive linemen in this draft, and then there's a pretty big drop-off to that second to third round range. There's a little bit more flexibility with the edge rusher position, but once you get past those first round talents, you really start to get some warts on the prospect, and it's a little bit more of a swing for the fences, or maybe a higher floor, lower ceiling type guy. So you're not seeing a lot of talent at linebacker, defensive line, and edge when we're looking at this second round. But I do think there's a pretty good chance for a lot of depth at wide receiver, like we just talked about. I think there's going to be some quality interior offensive linemen in the second round. And I think there's going to be some cornerbacks. You know, we didn't really talk about him much, talked about them not being a great fit at eighth overall. But I think guys like Isaiah Oliver from Colorado, Mike Hughes from UCF, even there's a chance someone like Jare Alexander from Louisville makes that fall, or even Josh Jackson from Iowa. The cornerback class is a little bit hard to pin down, but there's going to be guys there with that 39th overall pick. And so I think you can make a case to avoid wide receiver, cornerback, and maybe even interior offensive line with that first round. You know, I'm not going to pass on Quentin Nelson if he's there, but it is a good note that if he's not there, the Bears are not screwed at the guard position in the draft, but there's not going to be linebackers, edge rushers, and defensive linemen. And so if Quentin Nelson and Bradley Chubb are gone, I'm leaning linebacker or Harold Landry with that eighth overall pick, because I can get a guard, a wide receiver, or a cornerback with that 39th overall pick. Of course, there's always day three of the draft to try and address some of these needs. And so in the coming podcast here, we're going to start to turn our attention a little bit more to this day three. We're not going to get too bogged down in a bunch of no-name small school guys that you've never heard of that the Bears aren't going to draft. But we are going to look at some of these positions of need, because Ryan Pace tends to go with more need positions at that fourth and fifth round. He'll take, you know, last year, Eddie Jackson in the fourth round, even Tariq Cohen. They kind of needed that dynamic athlete running back that could be an upgrade over Jeremy Langford. In the past, you know, Nick Kwiatkowski goes there, DeAndre Hall goes there, Deion Bush goes there, and the Bears needed a linebacker and safety and cornerback. Ryan Pace kind of uses that fourth round and even the fifth to try and address some of those positions of need. So we're going to get into some of these wide receivers and even some of these running backs, because Ryan Pace takes one in every single draft. That'll be coming on Thursday when our friend Matt Waldman makes a return to the podcast. He has such an in-depth knowledge of the skill positions in the draft, and I promise you will learn a lot on that show. But we're also going to look at some potential cornerbacks that could be there later on. We're going to look at some sleepers potentially next week. We're going to look at what type of question marks the Chicago Bears can answer in this draft. And by the time the draft rolls around, we're just a couple of weeks away, you will be all set if you've been listening to Locked On Bears. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast listening app you prefer. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a review if you feel so inclined. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bears. Like the show on Facebook, Locked On Bears. And you can follow me at my personal account, where there is always more Chicago Bears and NFL draft talk to be had, at Cox Sports 1. Let us know on Facebook and Twitter which of these first and second round combinations would be your ideal Chicago Bears draft scenario. Because if they nail these first two picks, this Chicago Bears team will have some real talent, some real young talent on both sides of the ball. And they're going to give you plenty of reason to bear down.